Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakei. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. In my continuing series of having people that personify the Be You, The World Will Adjust, today I'm really happy to have a dear friend and someone I work with closely, Mona Malone, who is the CHRO for the Bank of Montreal and responsible for the well-being of nearly 45,000 employees, and has been at the forefront of this whole managing a workforce and institution through this pandemic. And I liken it to a bit like being the head of the Corps of Engineers in the Army, in that you have to mobilize so many people in so many activities. People forget how much work is involved in running an organization from top to bottom under normal circumstances. But under the current circumstance of the pandemic, and now we're into month four, and it looks like the dislocation will go on. So Mona, welcome. Thank you for coming on today. And perhaps you can start by talking about the moment it all happened, how you, as the leader of the people in the organization and working with your colleagues, have managed this process. Because I think a lot of people have their own example of it occurring to them, but you have to think about how to take care of all the people.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for having me. And there's no doubt at the macro level, this is for sure one of the most disruptive, when you think about health and safety and economic events, that will ever occur in my lifetime. And when I think about how I've experienced this as the CHRO of BMO Financial Group, and then I'll talk about it more personally. In the early days of the pandemic, as one of the largest financial institutions in North America, what we were concerned about, of course, was capital and liquidity and providing the customer relief programs to our retail, business bank, commercial, and corporate clients in the US and Canada. And our Asian operation had experienced the pandemic in January, February, and then it really hit in North America in mid-March. And in mid-March, the focus on health and safety of the 46,000 employees, moving home very quickly, 30,000 of our employees to work from home from office towers, implementing new technologies and new tools for their collaboration. And then focusing on the health and safety of those that did have to go to a workplace. So those in the branches serving the clients every day. And they've been working straight through the pandemic. They are absolutely an essential service and have been a critical resource to our customers. And so, like at the macro level, at the bank level, those were the things that we were dealing with. Every group was represented, and we were meeting twice daily in the early days. And that frequency has changed as we've gone through the pandemic. Personally, you know, I'm a wife, I'm a mother of three, and so I had homeschooling with with my kids. I had graduations that were missed, trips that were missed, and elderly parents that all of a sudden rapidly moved to become proficient at digital banking and digital grocery shopping, who had been holdouts, much to our suggestion in the years before. And so personally just experienced all of those change elements also.
Yeah, it's, you know, the theme this summer has been pivot and adapt, pivot and adapt. And it's remarkable how resourceful we as human beings can be when we have to be. It's almost like we adapt much quicker when we don't have an alternative but to adapt. And when you have the alternatives, it somehow sometimes makes us second guess and wonder about ourselves. One of the things that I think would be interesting to hear from you is this was uncharted waters. Like, you have disaster recovery plans. You have all kinds of types of things that are built into institutions. Whether it's redundancy for blackouts or terrorist attacks or whatever. But this was like a blank piece of paper. how did you feel during that period of time? Like every day, two meetings a day, plus your own meetings, plus trying to manage your family, plus, other than being exhausted at the end of the day. How was that?
It was definitely the most intense period that I've been through in my professional career, for sure. So the way we kind of thought of the pandemic response is really in three phases. And this didn't happen at the heart of it in March, but it did start to emerge by April. And the first phase was really mobilizing and protecting our employees, which was the health and safety of those that needed to be at work sites, the rapid movement of those that went home, and the rethinking of the business continuity plan, given the situation that we were in and what we knew about COVID transmission. And what that meant is we couldn't be using business continuity sites that were also large locations where people were in close proximity. So creating resiliency for the bank by having people work from home was the route that we took. And that's why getting 30,000 people operational at home over a two-week period was a massive effort. And it's incredible, the adaptability and resilience, and it shows what's possible in an organization. Because I think pre the pandemic, I don't think we ever believed we could move at that lightning speed. We had traders working from home. We had problem solving on capacity, on load balancing. We had toolkits going out, messaging going out, information hubs for our 46,000 employees and managers. The pace at which things were coordinated was at a rate that I hadn't seen in the organization before. And then kind of we started to move to the second phase, which was really sustain and adapt, as we realized that this wasn't a few weeks or a few months, but we were going to be in this situation for a period of time. We needed to adapt our operational risk practices. We needed to digitize processes that had prior required printing or physical elements. We moved our contact center employees, 60% of our contact center employees, to be able to work from home, which was something that had been in our technology roadmap, but had not been operationalized before COVID, which is a huge accomplishment, but also opens up huge opportunity for the future, because we can staff those roles with people from anywhere across Canada and the US now. So it creates a new level of opportunity and resilience. Really going hard at digitizing, realizing that our interactions with customers are going to be in a digital means. And a great example of that is our capital markets business holds conferences where they bring where they really create markets by bringing people together. And one of them was in the farm and food category. And as opposed to just cancel the conference, they created an online forum where they had thousands of one-on-one conversations, as well as bringing thought leaders to the community that they brought together of clients. And they were able to accomplish way more than they ever thought possible in that digital forum. And that would have been something that I think pre the virus, we really wouldn't have moved towards, because there was a real strong view that you needed to be there in person and have the in-person discussions to achieve the outcomes. And so there was all kinds of local innovation around not just canceling things, but reimagining how can we keep the connectivity with our customers? How can we help create forums to advance commerce? And then more recently, we've moved to kind of the third phase of the pandemic planning, which is really thinking about how the bank is competitive in this new normal, we call it. And, you know, when we think about what that means, how are we there for our customers in the year or two ahead? How are we making sure that we're pivoting with our workforce, the ways of working? How are we digitizing and simplifying, realizing that digital interaction with the bank across all segments is going to increasingly be important in the next few years? And what are we doing to position the organization effectively for our customers? And so that's kind of how we've thought about it. Personally, when I reflect, one of the biggest learnings that I've had through this is Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is basically when people are worried about their health and safety, they can't really pay attention to much else. And Jim, you mentioned, you know, as I was going through this, I was also experiencing things in my own family. And so were all of the 46,000 of our employees. And so the ability to first recognize you have to meet those needs. Answering people's questions and bringing health professionals. We did thousands of webinars with tens of thousands of our employees to bring medical advisors, mental health professionals, parenting professionals, because really this whole thing of business and life colliding, and you needed to support the things that were top of mind to the employees, which weren't always work things. And you needed to address those first before you could think about, okay, how are people able to be adaptive and focused on the client and their job? And so that became a huge area of focus.
You know, it's interesting because I read an article recently, you talked about digitalization, saying that this pandemic has accelerated the move to digitalization by almost 10 years. I saw the other day about some online university that prior to the pandemic was about to shut down. And now they're right off the charts, busy. And I love the, I love both sort of collateral consequences of the situation, good ones and bad ones. I don't like the bad ones, obviously, but this adaptability, this people's willingness to recognize we don't have time to debate. And I think your point about the call center is a great one. You and I joked before, and I've said to many others, you know, when you actually sit down and think about call centers, most of the people who work in call centers travel probably an hour and a half to get there. And the concept of that travel time to bring them in to sit in the cubicle to spend the day and then take that travel time going back, in retrospect, you sort of think, why didn't not just yourselves, but everybody do that before? I'd like to stay on that subject of mental health because I think we're very, very early at the beginning of understanding or maybe even just recognizing the impact that this dislocation, this lack of community or a different kind of community, especially if you're a working mother like yourself, as you and I have talked on many times, you've always had two jobs, one the job you do during the day and then one the job you do when you go home. And now all of a sudden being at home, those two jobs are colliding on a 24-hour a day basis. Where does the line end of your day and begin and start? And the pressure upon people, and I know the subject of mental health is one near and dear to your heart. Maybe you could spend a little more time talking about what you're seeing, what you're both personally and professionally preparing for and thinking about, because some people will want to go back to the office. Some people won't want to go back to the office. All of those things that go back and forth across your desk all the time.
I think this topic of mental health is extremely important, as is the topic of inclusion and making sure that we're being really thoughtful. The health and safety support to the workforce includes both physical and mental health for sure. A couple things that we've done. So through the pandemic, bringing mental health experts to talk to both our leadership team, managers, and our broad employee population, to understand toolkits around what we can use. And this is as simple as, in the pandemic, how do you create effective daily routines? Waking up at the same time, making sure you're eating healthy, getting outside for a 30-minute walk, how you're connecting with people and taking time to actually have a human connection, not just diving into the work. So practical tips, but also in partnership with the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, we also launched the Workplace Mental Health Playbook for business leaders that is both for our clients and for ourselves that really go into more depth around practices for mental health, which is around education to managers and providing additional benefits. And so through the pandemic, we rolled out virtual healthcare for all our employees, which is basically a virtual healthcare app. And in that app is access to both physical doctors and mental health. And you don't have to go into clinics. You can access it on your device. That has been hugely well received by our employees. And at a time when many times people don't want to go to clinics right now, bringing the professionals to the workplace in an easy and accessible way through these webinars, through these Q&A sessions, and integrating the conversation into management meetings. Our CEO, Daryl White, held frequent senior leader forums with the top 400 leaders through the pandemic. And at every one, we talked about physical and mental health. And we did that with a variety of experts at that meeting. And many of the experts were taken from leadership programs that we'd done over the years at our Institute for Learning. So it wasn't net new to us, the content we had talked about before. But all of a sudden, you're in the midst of a crisis, and now's when you need to refresh yourself and actually use it. And really also focusing on our own wellness as a senior management team. Role modeling, taking time away, time off the device, and doing a real push with employees around what we call staycation, and the idea of reinventing the vacation, but encouraging people to take time away from work because the overwork and the fatigue is a reality. We also surveyed our employees and did pulse checks that we're continuing to do to check in and find out how they're doing and find out what more support they need. And that listening has helped shape our strategies. So let me give you a tangible example. In the early days, parents of kids under 10 said they were hugely overwhelmed. And that's what led us to focus on all of the parenting workshops and increase focus on dialing up the flexibility that people have around alternate work weeks, working a Saturday, taking a day off, increasing use of the day, reducing what their workday looked like, talking to their managers around flexible options. The second survey, it came out that peripheral devices, things like headsets, monitors, when they realized that they're going to be working at home longer, were critical. And so we rolled out a peripheral program so that employees had access to those tools to make them more productive and comfortable at home. And so listening along the way has been really important in terms of shaping the support to the workforce.
Well, the listening, you know, as we've said, there's no roadmap to what you're doing and where we're all going. You've had an interesting career because you're not a career HR person, as you and I have joked about before. You've been steeped in the business. And if I recall correctly, your parents are entrepreneurs as well in London. Were they not, Mona?
Yes. So I've had roles in the business and in HR throughout my career. And my parents have been small business owners in the Kitchener-Waterloo area for a number of years.
So that gives you an interesting perspective in HR. And prior to your role as CHRO, you were a chief talent officer. And I know that you speak fondly, and I see it always light up when you talk about your time at the IFL and developing people and programs and helping people get better at what they do. But as some of my listeners are young, early in their careers, a couple of weeks ago, I had a young woman, Taylor Morrell, who had just gotten a job through my coaching and the infomercial program. But what's going to happen? You're going to hire differently. You're going to reapply people differently. You're going to educate differently than any other time in the past. The physical proximity of all of that stuff is so different. Maybe you could give insight on all of a sudden now we're going to be doing interviews not in person. We're going to be doing them on a Zoom call. We're going to be thinking about the skills that are required for the Bank of Montreal for the future may not be the same skills as were required in the past. Maybe you could help a little bit and give some insight into your thoughts around that.
You're absolutely correct. Things are continuing to adapt. We brought on 400 summer students this summer and onboarded them virtually. Their jobs were virtual and then are offboarding them virtually also. For many roles, people are going to be entering the workforce and working in a remote way, not spending as much face-to-face time with their team, not spending as much face-to-face time with their managers. And so being able to connect with people in the workplace is really important. When you think about those things that you would have done in a workplace, go for coffees with people, learn about what people do in other areas, those are still important. It's just you have to do them in different ways now in terms of virtual connection, phone connection. And so not to fall into any sense of isolation as we think about this more remote work environment. And what's fantastic is the collaboration tools now, Microsoft Teams, Zoom, there's a variety of them. I find the digital natives, the young digital natives that are coming into the workforce are so proficient with these tools. It's really fantastic. So I think I see a couple skills being critical: curiosity, learning, adaptability. And no matter what job you're starting in, recognizing that you're constantly building your skills and that job is going to change and evolve over time. And time may be weeks, months, or years, but it will evolve. And so that sense of constantly learning couldn't be more important. And communication skills and the ability to foster human relationships doesn't change. That's important. It's just the way that we're doing it and the tools that we're using are changing a bit.
At some point, we'll probably drop the word new in the normal, just like after 9/11, everybody would say, well, this is the new normal going through security. And it's hard to know when that feeling of normal will come back.
What's interesting, there's one more thing I wanted to add, Jim. The other is that because there's no playbook, it is actually a very exciting time. Because new business models will emerge, new ways of doing things. You know, I mentioned that example of capital markets doing their farm to market conference and doing it all online and being able to get enormous results. Another example is one of our team members at our corporate university at the IFL identified the fact that we have, you know, 150 hotel rooms sitting vacant and came up with the idea that we should think about offering them to healthcare professionals during the pandemic. It was a brilliant idea, but it wasn't from the top. It was, you know, somebody that came up with the idea, and it was a fantastic way of helping our frontline healthcare providers. And we had over 70 healthcare providers staying at our Institute for Learning for a number of months this summer. I would also just say that there's an enormous opportunity for innovation and new ideas, which is exciting. And I think so many businesses are in that stage of reinventing. To your point, it won't be the new normal, it'll just be the normal. And that also creates a lot of exciting opportunity for new talent as they think about entering a workplace where there's many industries and companies in a state of reinvention.
I'm glad you added that, because particularly the point about the idea for the IFL came not from the top, from within the ranks. And as you know, I am a strong proponent that to reach down into organizations, because that's where many of the great ideas come. And it's not because the people at the top don't have the great ideas. It's just we see things differently. You talked about the young people and their acceptance of digitalization and the way they work. And I encourage all my clients and people that I spend time with to reach down into the organization, ask the question. You wouldn't know the things about mental health that you did if you hadn't reached into the organization to survey the people, to understand what they're feeling and what they're going through. And the same thing with great ideas. Mona, thank you very, very much for spending this time with me today. I think the Bank of Montreal is in great shape with Daryl and yourself leading the charge and the 45,000 employees. Keep adapting, keep pivoting, and good things will come from those that make decisions.
Thanks so much, Jim, for having me. Take care.